It's being dubbed Obama's kill list. A Justice Department memo, first made public by NBC yesterday, says drones can be used to kill American citizens if they are to believe senior operational leaders of Al-Qaeda or an associated force. That's if that's believable. If there's an imminent threat, however, of a violent attack against the U.S., clear evidence is not required to execute them. In other words, folks, you can just go out and kill the traitor. Here now we have Catherine Mangu Ward, Reason Magazine Managing Editor and former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense Jed Babbitt. Catherine, begin with you. This is tough stuff. We did this with Alawi and his son. And the question is, if you can't capture them, but you know that they're about to do something evil, why not take them out? Why not use the drone bomb?
So basically the administration's position, as revealed in this paper, is, listen, guys, we promise we will only use drones to rain death from the skies on American citizens when we're really, really, really sure they're bad guys. And, you know, that's very reassuring and all, but there's a reason that most of these things are set up, that we have due process. The Fifth Amendment asks us to do something a little more than just, trust us, these are the bad guys. And there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, but, Jeb, Fifth Amendment, I'm all for the Constitution, I'm all for the Founding Fathers, but if these guys leave America and join Al-Qaeda or some associated group, they're not Americans anymore. I don't regard them as citizens. They are enemy combatants, that's all, and they need to be treated like enemy combatants, Jeb.
Well, I think that's what the law is, really, Larry. If you leave the United States, you join and swear to allegiance to a foreign power like Al-Qaeda, you are no longer an American citizen. And the law is pretty clear, going back to the 1940s, that an American citizen who becomes swears allegiance to a foreign enemy loses his rights of citizenship. And this really is an ugly situation, but I think you have to go ahead and do what the president is doing. I think this memo, as loosely as it's written, and it goes on and on and on and on, touching all of the possible legal bases, I think it'll stand up in court. It's not the best written thing. I've got some misgivings about it, but I think you have to do what you have to do in the situation, and it is constitutional and it is legal. Don't forget, when Al-Awlaki's father went to court to try to have his name taken off the kill list before he was taken out, the judge threw the case out saying it was a political question. You can't interfere with the conduct of a war by the president. That's the law. That's the Constitution. Again, we may not like it. That's the way it's got to be, though.
I mean, Catherine, look, because these guys become foreign combatants, I don't think they deserve the rights of American citizens. In other words, you can't just go up to them in the middle of the Yemen desert and give them the Miranda and say, you know, you have the right to remain silent. You have a right to get a lawyer. I mean, these guys are killers, and they're trying to kill Americans at the embassy or whatever it is they're going to be doing. These are special conditions in wartime.
Listen, these guys, you know, I don't want to stick up for these guys as being good guys. But again, remember what this memo is saying, what the administration is asking us to do is not just to trust Obama in this particular conflict to make good decisions, but essentially to trust, you know, all the presidents that come after him, all the occupants of the Oval Office, to make similar good decisions with very, very little oversight and certainly a very little input from the courts. And, you know, we've seen who's occupied that chair. I'm not sure I feel comfortable with that. And frankly, if even Jed Babbitt has some misgivings about this memo, the rest of us should freak out.
Yeah, but that's very kind. But Jed, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not the president who makes it. It's the intel and the military, is it not? And if you're in a wartime, aren't those the key players?
Well, yes, and they should be. And, you know, the problem I have with this memo is it lets not just the president, but any senior informed official to make that kind of a decision. Now, I have no problem delegating that decision to a warrior, a lieutenant colonel who really is right on the front line and knows what's going on. But you want to hand the power of life and death to Janet Napolitano or Eric Holder? I don't think so. You know, we've got some big problems with this memo. And, you know, again, and I think Catherine is right to an extent. We have to have somebody who is a grown-up handling these things. Right now, I don't know that there's a lot of people in this administration I would trust to make these decisions.
Well, all right, that's a political judgment. Okay, but Catherine, the thing is, if the intel knows there's an imminent threat, they scope that out, and they know that they can't get in to capture the guy, then it seems to me the only thing left to do is to bomb him. That's the only thing left to do.
You know, we actually make exceptions to our own constitution all the time. And frankly, I think that's what would happen if it came down to a real ticking time bomb type scenario.
Yeah.
But that isn't to say that we should institute that in law. It's not to say that we should have this memo, which is not about that situation. This memo is about anyone who anyone thinks might be potentially a threat.
It does say, though, if capture is not feasible and if there's an imminent threat. All right, I got to get out. You both make some good points. This is a difficult thing. Catherine Mangue-Ward, thank you. Jed Babin, as always, thanks.